And for us in here, we're going to continue our series on Proverbs. Today, last week we started kind of after looking at chapters 1 to 9, which we kind of went through chapter by chapter. We're now doing them by topic, because after chapter 10, the style of writing changes a fair bit. So we are going to do like an A to Z of Proverbs. Last week we were looking at anger. This week we're looking at Proverbs, God's wisdom on bribery and business, kind of business ethics, business conduct, how do we act in work. If the verses can come up on the screen, these are some of the verses we're looking at today. So starting at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 34 and 35. For jealousy rouses a husband's fury. He will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse a bribe, however great it is. Ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. All hard work brings profits, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. Honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. The appetite of laborers works for them, their hunger drives them on. A bribe is seen as a charm by the one who gives it. They think success will come at every turn. The wicked accept bribes in secret to pervert the course of justice. Differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. It's no good, says the buyer, then goes off and boasts about the purchase. Sending a message by the hands of a fool is like cutting off one's feet or drinking poison. The one who guards a fig tree will eat its fruits, and whoever protects their master will be honored. To show partiality is not good, yet a person will do wrong for a piece of bread. Servants cannot be corrected by mere words. Though they understand, they will not respond. Amen. Before we go on to look at that, let me just pray and ask for God's help for ourselves, but the children in their classes as well. Let's commit this time to the Lord. Lord, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom found in Proverbs. And Lord, we just pray that this time now will be beneficial for us, that will be corrected, perhaps will be rebuked. But Lord, we just pray that at the end of today, that we'll be looking more like Christ. We pray for the children in their classes, that they would be trained in your ways. Lord, we pray that they will hear the gospel this morning, and that even today will be the day of salvation. Lord, we do, again, just pray for ourselves. Lord, I pray that I will not speak of my wisdom, but your wisdom, and that we would be transformed into your image. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. So again, I don't know if the photocopies have gone around now or not, but hopefully we'll know where we're going with this. So this morning, looking at this subject of wisdom on bribes and business, and as I've mentioned, when we're looking at this area of business, we're looking at business ethics, our conduct in the workplace. As we seek to gain more wisdom and understanding on this, God willing, this won't be my wisdom and understanding on the subject. Believe me, that will be no help to you. But God willing, this will be God's wisdom to make us more like Christ. We read in the New Testament, Jesus Christ himself being the very wisdom from God. And when we talk about bribes, business, when we talk about corruption, perhaps in the world today, perhaps we don't think it affects us here too much in Mid Wales, like a market town like Newtown. We might think that the main bribery and corruption that we see happening in the world today is perhaps just located to the big cities, the banks, the stock markets, the big corporation companies. That it could be perhaps FIFA, the governing body of football, taking bribes in order for World Cups to be placed in certain countries. Or maybe the way large banks have conducted themselves over the last few years with their business ethics means that actually the ones that suffer is the taxpayer having to cough up about $45 billion. Perhaps we think of Google, Starbucks, Amazon, and many more not paying the tax that the millions of tax that they are due to pay. And yet food banks are needed now more than ever. Maybe we just think that the relevance for us today in Newtown is just not there. Well, bribery can strike us on a personal level as well. I don't know if you've done much travelling throughout the globe. My brother was travelling around different countries. I won't mention the countries he went to. But he hired a motorbike while he was in these countries. And he got stopped fairly regularly by police. Not because of his driving, but because they asked him to show certain paperwork. And he went through all the paperwork that he'd been given from the place where he hired the motorbike. And he couldn't find the paperwork. And they said they would let him off, that he paid a certain amount of money. It turns out that this paperwork never even existed. And what was just happening is that the police abusing their power and bribing him. This happened a number of times. And the tourist just said, oh, it's just the way things work around here. Again, this is unlikely to happen to us here in Newtown, God willing. But on this subject of bribery and perhaps our business conduct, how we act at work, it's generally speaking about the attitude of our heart, isn't it? It's about our honesty. It's about our integrity. And those are virtues. Those are things that each and every one of us should be concerned about this morning. So this morning we're going to look at just easily those 2 points, wisdom on bribes, wisdom on business. And we'll see those two things are linked because it involves our heart. It speaks about our honesty. It speaks about our conscience. It speaks about who we fear most. So what does God's word say, especially Proverbs? Firstly, about bribery. So point one, wisdom about bribery. And at various times, it seems as though Proverbs may confuse us about whether bribery is even frowned upon. Most of the time, it's viewed negatively. Now and again, it seems like it may be even encouraged. And that's because the words for gift and the words for bribery are pretty much synonymous in the Hebrew. They can mean the same thing. So we need to look at its context. We need to see the outcome of the gift or the bribe given. That's important for us to look at. If a gift is given in order to bend justice, if a gift is given in order to bend the truth, then it's wrong. There can be times when gifts are given in order to achieve good ends. I'm sure we all like a gift. Christmas time, birthday time, it's free. It's nice to give gifts to other people, but I'm sure we've sometimes been aware of gifts we've been given, but they've been given with strings attached, as it were. We've been given gifts with a heavy price tag. That it comes with. We might have been given something, but the motives of the giver are wrong motives, and they want something in return. That's a bribe. And as much corruption and anger there are at companies like Google, Starbucks, Amazon, the sad thing is, most of the time, a lot of the time, bribery and corruption works. We turn to Proverbs 17, verse 8. A bribe is seen as a charm by the one who gives it. They think success will come at every turn. Perhaps at first glance, it may seem to approve or perhaps even encourage bribery. But the point of the verse is bribes often work. There's a link there with the word bribery and the word charm. It's like a magic charm to the one that gives it. We might say things like, oh, it worked like a charm. This verse isn't advertising the use of bribes. It's just being honest. They're saying whether we like it or not, actually bribes work more often than not. But the thing is, if a bribe gets you what you want, why is it bad? Why is it frowned upon? Maybe you've been travelling abroad, like we mentioned before, and bribery in some countries is just how things are done. So why is it wrong if it gets you what you want? Well, because often, Proverbs 17, verse 23, the wicked accept bribes in secret to pervert the course of justice. In the news fairly recently, I read, you may have seen it as well, about this Hollywood actress paying thousands of pounds to their child's private school in order for the school to change the child's exam answers and therefore win a place at a better college. It got found out along with many other bribery charges in the school. And on this occasion, justice was done. But I wonder the amount of other cases just like this that just go on behind the scenes that we don't hear about and justice is ignored. We mentioned that verse there, 17:23. A bribe is used to pervert the course of justice, and God himself is just. He makes sure in eternity that justice is done. This isn't just against the law, but it's against God's very nature himself. It's against God's holiness itself. This is why bribery is so awful. It's because it's against the very nature of God. Those guilty of bribery, of corruption, that only goes unpunished for so long. Long term, it doesn't pay. Long term, it doesn't profit. We read Proverbs 10:2. Ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death. I think it's fair to say Solomon knew a fair bit about wealth and value, didn't he? And all his wealth, Solomon didn't deny that there was some kind of temporary benefits and riches. But riches, especially when gained from bribery or ill-gotten treasures, as this says, there's no lasting satisfaction. There's no lasting fulfillment. We read in James 5, Lynn read for us, about wealth rotting, silver and gold corroding. We mentioned at the beginning, we can talk about the corruption of banks. We can talk about the personal bribery we have, may have faced. But at the end of the day, this has something to say about our hearts. This is about our honesty. This is about our integrity. Proverbs makes it really clear for us. Money has the power to corrupt your honesty. Money has the power to corrupt your integrity. Maybe you've known someone you've always thought as an honest person, a person of integrity, a godly person. And then in the presence of money, it's remarkable how suddenly they've made these small compromises. Like the rich young man who wouldn't follow Jesus because of his wealth meant more to him than anything else. Timothy Keller, on his devotion book on Proverbs, says this: today has been an explosive multiplication of ways to hide from customers or investors the information they ought to have, without which you can take advantage of them and exploit them. Money has never had so many ways to tempt you. Don't be naive about its power. Wealth gained by fraud will never satisfy. You will end up with a mouthful of gravel. That phrase there, mouthful of gravel, he's quoting Proverbs 20:17 there. If you're self-employed, if you do your own taxes or anything like that, are you tempted to be less honest than you should be? The power of money can make us make these small compromises we might think is quite innocent, but it offends God. It speaks about our hearts. It speaks about what our hearts long for, more money or Christ-likeness. To fear God or to fear man, what's more important? Proverbs 28:21 says this: to show partiality is not good. Can we ask whether we do this in church, even in the church doors? Perhaps we treat people differently than others. Some people, we treat some people differently than others. Perhaps those who could help us at some point, we have more time for them because we think if we spend more time with them, they'll be a useful person to have around when we need help. Yet what about the vulnerable? What about the weak? The needy in our fellowship? Do we speak to them as much? Do we love them as much? Or is it we don't spend much time with them because, hey, what can they do for us? To show partiality is not good. There's a well-known quote you may have heard of. I can't work out who said it because it's been credited to a few people, but it says this: you can easily judge the character of a man by how he treats those who can do nothing for him. How's this related to bribery? Well, if we relate to those, talk to those, love those who are only able to do something for us, isn't that just another form of bribery? And Jesus said we must examine our hearts, how we relate to others, how we love others around us, the rich, the poor, the well thought of, the not so well thought of. Luke 14:12-14 says this: when he was at someone's house for dinner, Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or your sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they might invite you back and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Though they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So we must examine our hearts this morning. This speaks about this terms of bribery, we might not think this relates to us, but it speaks to our honesty, it speaks to our integrity. examining our hearts doesn't just refer to our mentality towards money or others in church or outside the doors, but we need to examine how our hearts work when we are at work. So we go to our next point, wisdom about business. And again, this should be for all of us this morning. If you're not in work, in the workplace yet, because you're at school or college, one day you will be in that workplace, God willing. So it's good to see what God says about how we should act at work. Some of you here, you are at work, so this is very relevant for you. Whether you're a boss with people working under you, or if you're an employee, Proverbs has something for you this morning. And even if you're retired, this is something for you. You worked at one time, and perhaps you can look back at your working life now and acknowledge, actually, there have been mistakes. I do need to repent of that. Or at the very least, it will give you something to pray for your brothers and sisters who are working. So again, there's two areas we've mentioned where I want us to look at. This area of integrity and honesty, because that's what Proverbs seems to focus on in the workplace. And we have this A and B subpoints here, as you can see on your sheet. So integrity in the workplace, A, B, honesty in the workplace. So A, Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 3:6, in all our ways acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. But there's many examples in Proverbs where actually that's not the case. There's those who lack integrity. Some ways involving bribery, as we've looked at. Some kind of get-rich-quick schemes. There are some deceptive business practices, some taking advantage of the vulnerable, or just being harsh and ruthless to those that don't deserve it. And Proverbs says those things, ultimately those things, will not lead to profit, but will lead to poverty. And Proverbs, throughout the whole book, it gives us an invitation to be wise, to fear God rather than man. And therefore, the wise worker operates with integrity. They work hard. They avoid laziness. That not only are there those characteristics that your boss will look for at work, but they're characteristics that God looks at as well. And Proverbs 14:23 says, all hard work brings profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. There's a huge contrast there between those who are hard-working laborers and meaningless talk. One leads to profit, the other leads to poverty. Perhaps we know of those who daydream at work. They daydream about the holidays, the house, the retirement, but are not doing the work to provide for anything. And the one who constantly gossips, the one who constantly daydreams, is a bit of a chatterbox, might find their way talking themselves out of a job. And if you're in a position this morning where actually you've got the luxury of hiring someone, you go through that interview process, you look at candidates, what characteristics are you looking for in that person? I'm sure you're looking for the right skill level, you're looking for the qualifications, but do you look for integrity? Is that important to you? Proverbs tells us it is. It's one of the most vital things. Proverbs 26, verse 6 says, sending a message by the hands of a fool is like cutting off one's feet or drinking poison. In that culture, messengers had a hugely important part to play. Sending a message would literally be sending someone to take an important message to a colleague at a different location or to another business. It's the way business was run. A person was hired to take out that message, but as it turns out from that verse, that person is a fool or lacks integrity. Despite the fancy mobile phones that we have now that send messages, the first telephone system started in about 1878. And the company there hired operators. Connecting a call wasn't as easy as it is today. Back then, it was quite a lot of work. As the call came in, and they had to plug, lights lit up, and they had to plug a connector into the right switch in this massive switchboard, and then run over to the other side of the room and connect it to the other side on this massive switchboard. And the bosses thought, well, who could do that work? And they would need to have lots of energy, they need to have good reflexes, be quick to learn. So they thought teenage boys would be the best answer. They would be perfect for the job. And they were basically messenger boys. But instead, they drank beer, wrestled each other, swore at customers, and connected strangers together as a prank. Let's just say they probably lacked a fair amount of integrity. And before too long, nearly all messenger boys were replaced by women. Apparently, they were a far higher level of integrity, far more polite, and apparently they were able to knit at the same time as well. But that verse there in Proverbs 26, to cut off his own feet there, the hiring of a messenger was to provide another pair of feet for the boss. In the hiring of this fool, he's cut off his own feet. The message never arrives. Or at best, the message is completely wrong. And that other phrase there, drinking poison, it's another way to say to drink violence. That's a lot more powerful image, isn't it? And it's speaking about the message goes, but that message deliberately distorted. And the message may bring damage and awful consequences to people or the business. In that sense, be careful who you choose to work for you and represent you. Look for integrity. And that phrasing there about working for someone and in a position of authority over you. As Christians in the workplace, we should display a better attitude to those in authority over us. We should have integrity. But secondly, B, and lastly, we look at honesty in the workplace. And Proverbs 13:11 says, "Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow." You may have noticed a fair few times throughout Proverbs, wealth and money are sometimes viewed quite positively. It was written by Solomon. He obviously had a bit of spare change. But what's often in view is the way in which wealth is gained. In that sense, the end does not justify the means. There's a vast difference in wealth being obtained by fraud and dishonesty compared to the one that works for it. But just because someone may be rich, it doesn't mean they have something of value. Actually, Proverbs tell us there's more value in honesty, in righteousness, than in wealth. And there's three verses that were on our sheets that are all quite similar to each other, which talks about honesty. They say this, Proverbs 11, verse 1, "The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favour with him." 16:11, "Honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making." And 20:10, "Differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both." A business practice back then were known to use these kind of two sets of scales. One set meant that the customer may get less of the product than they thought they were getting. And the other scale meant they were paying more for something than they should have. God sees this, and he hates it. Again, it goes against his nature. And this is serious. That phrase there, that the Lord detests it, that's the same phrase using when he sees human sacrifices. That chapter 16, verse 11, it tells us that God sees it. He's concerned about it. God weighs our hearts, and God will balance the books. He will balance the books. And one of the last verses that we look at from Proverbs on this, it does also concern our hearts. And from this time, it's not from the point of view of the business, but this time from the point of view of the customer or the buyer. If we're buying something in a shop or a marketplace, Proverbs 20, verse 14 says, "It's no good, it's no good," says the buyer, then goes off and boasts about the purchase. This takes us back to the marketplace, haggling over a price of something, of products, and this buyer there, he's saying, "Oh, it's rubbish, you'll never get the price you want for it. It's all scratched, it's all ruined." And bad literally means inferior. So the buyer drives down the price as much as he can, and the buyer gets the price they want for it. And then we follow the buyer just down the roads with the item they've bought. And it turns out the item isn't bad, but actually very good. The buyer always knew it was good. And he knew the price that he got was an absolute bargain. And now he boasts to his friends and family about it. This isn't telling us not to get a good price for something. We want to be a good steward. But again, it points to our hearts. The buyer knew they were lying. The buyer knew that they were being dishonest. And the reason we should have integrity, the reason why we should have honesty, is because we fear God more than we fear man. God sees everything. He sees our hearts. And sometimes, perhaps we can think in work, in school or college, sometimes the fear of our boss, sometimes the fear of our co-workers, the fear of students in school or college can make us dishonest. It can make us lack integrity. And the answer to this, we must pray that God will be bigger in our minds than people. We must pray that God makes us like his son, who told and held to the truth even when it hurt. God sees everything. He sees all that dishonesty and that lack of integrity. And Hebrews 4 verse 13 says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him who we must give an account." Isn't that terrifying? He sees everything. He knows the times we've failed. He sees the times we've been lacking honesty, where we've perhaps let money compromise us a bit, where we've lacked integrity. Everything is uncovered before him. And Proverbs 6, verse 35 says, "He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse a bribe, however great it is." That in that sense, there is no price we can pay for what we have done. No bribe can appease God. No gift can turn back God's righteous anger. And this is our problem. We've offended an infinitely holy and righteous God. Every single one of us here. He owes us nothing. We can't buy God off with our good works, our moral behavior, with our church going. No amount can be paid in order to turn away that righteous anger. Many of you know that you've failed in the workplace before. You know you failed this week. You know you failed at home. When you've been by yourself, you know you failed at school. And perhaps those particular sins are coming to mind now. But if you're trusting Christ today, perhaps even you're trusting Christ for the first time right now, we can say 1 Corinthians 6:11, "That is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." So we're going to sing now. Our only hope when we've been dishonest, our only hope when we've been lacking integrity and we've been faithless, is the fact that he is faithful, that Jesus took that punishment that we deserve. We're going to sing now about that hope. "Hallelujah, all I have is Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus is my life." Can we go to the last verse on that song? And it says, "O Father, use my ransom life in any way you choose." So let that phrase define your work week this week, define your time in school, define your home life. That everything you do pleases him in honesty and in integrity as well.